Imagine the longest night of the year, a moment when it feels like time slows down and the world gets cozy, sun sets at 4 o'clock, and we almost hold our breath. It's the winter solstice, and as it approaches, ancient traditions and modern rituals invite us to pause, reflect, and embrace the darkness before the return of light. So today, in the final installment of Seasonal Sessions, we step into winter. Join myself and Raquel as we explore the mysteries of the winter equinox, from its impact on plants and nature to the ways it helps us reset and find joy even in the darkness. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy if you're new here. And if you are a returning listener, welcome home. I'm so excited to be a part of your planty journey. And I'm honored and excited to share our final of the seasonal sessions with Raquel. You've probably known Raquel. She's been a repeat guest because she has joined me for every solstice and equinox in the last 4 turns of the year. So we started with the spring equinox. We then moved into the summer solstice, then into the fall equinox. And now we close the loop with the winter equinox as we move into it. In this seasonal session series, we've explored how the changing of the season affects the earth, affects our plants, and affects us as humans, and how we can see the turning of the seasons as a metaphor for our lives and be either in alignment or out of alignment with the season. And also, disclaimer, you can be in a different season internally than what is presenting outdoors. And I'm so happy that you now have this catalog of these 4 episodes in the series for you to use as we move through the seasons in 2025, or as you move through your own seasons in on your own timeline in your own way. So boy, oh boy, does that make me excited for you. So don't worry, Raquel will be continuing to return to the podcast as our resident Green Witch in 2025. We'll just be talking about other things beyond the seasons as we kind of close the loop on these 4 episodes. I am so thankful to her and her amazing spirit and how she constantly challenges us to go deeper with our relationship with plants. And as a reminder, you can find her at Our Infinite Nature, Raquel, spelled R-A-C-H-A-E-L. So without further ado, cozy up with something warm. Wrap yourself in a blanket and let's discuss the winter solstice with Raquel. Hello, Raquel. Welcome back to Growing Joy as we're giggling, making each other laugh offline.
Thank you so much. I love being here with you, Maria. It's such a joy every time.
I love being here with you too, and particularly this winter equinox conversation as I've just moved to Florida. I need it more than ever because I'm not going to feel the change of the seasons as much. So I'm excited to talk about it. Now, we started with the spring, right? So this is the 4th installment of our seasonal sessions. We've done spring, summer, fall, and now winter. Wow.
Creating that beautiful wheel of the seasons. Yeah. Right there. Yeah.
Yes. Right where we began again. And that is the beauty of the seasons, right? It's like if you have a rough gardening season, there's always another summer. There's always another time to try it. Or like if you have a tough season in life, you know that you're going to move into another season. Yeah. You know that you're going to get another opportunity. Like, everything is cyclical. I feel like the older I get, the more I'm like, everything is cyclical, truly.
Yes. And I think, Maria, that's why you even wanted to do this whole series, is to help people feel into ways to ritualize the cyclical nature of life so that we can be moving with it in a way that feels beneficial, that feels organic, that feels harmonious. Harmonious. Yeah.
Totally. And just to recognize how volatile, versatile, dynamic our lives can be. And the more we tune into nature, the more we tune into the seasons, the more we can allow that. And I actually was just having a conversation with a friend about how I was struggling in my move. And, you know, it's been hard for me to like get back into my routines and grow the business and do all the things that I'm supposed to do. And she was like, you know what, Maria, you're allowed to have seasons too. Like, you can have seasons too. And I was like, oh yeah, forgot. I've done multiple episodes on this, but sometimes you have to remind yourself, you know, because we're really not conditioned to experience a change of pace as humans. We're really conditioned to be in this push, 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 spring, summer, spring, summer, spring, summer, spring, summer, the celebratory side of fall, but not the dark side of fall.
Or the celebratory side of winter, but not the dormant part of winter.
Yeah. And then also, I feel like winter is only acknowledged if you go through something really traumatic, like if you go through a loss or if you go through something really dark and you go through like a dark night of the soul, then you're in your winter. But winter should be seasonal. You should experience it, you know, once a year or whatever your cadence is as a human. And it doesn't need to be the dark night of the soul. It can be really positive, like you said.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to rebrand winter today with you.
I love what you're sharing there about rebranding it, about finding the benefit in it as well, because I think that's so much of why we even do the seasonal living, why we turn to nature in this way, is because our human conditioned response shames us, blames us, guilts us for not, quote unquote, doing, being, having enough, right? But when we can turn to nature, when we can look at nature and we can recognize that in nature, everything is whole, whether it's dark or light, whether it's desired or undesired, like it's always whole and it's always coming back to a place of balance. And I think when we can actually look to nature and recognize and see nature as the mirror it truly is for us, because remember, I mean, we are nature. We are not some strange beings just like all of a sudden implanted on this natural world and we don't belong here. We do belong here. We've evolved here. We are a part of nature. And so those cycles, those seasons exist within us as well. And I know personally, I grew up on the East Coast and I don't like the cold. So for me growing up, winter was often a season that I was like, can we get through this, please? Like, I am freezing. And I did my undergraduate in Boston, which is a very cold area as well. And so, of course, when I graduated, I was like, I'm moving to Hawaii. I mean, I was studying marine mammals and marine biology, so it obviously made sense. But also, I was like, no more winter. But what's been interesting is in the last, like, 10 years of spiritual connection with nature, with life itself, with earth, with the seasons, with all of the things that I studied from an ecological standpoint, coming at it now from a spiritual standpoint has helped me embrace the energies of winter and look forward to it. Like, be like, oh, wow, I'm looking forward to the slowdown. I'm looking forward to the longer nights and shorter days. I'm looking forward to that more time indoors, the comfort foods. Like, I look forward to it. And so that is actually how we rebrand it inside of ourselves as well, to look and notice that in each season, just like with everything in life, there's a yin and a yang, there's a light and the shadow, right? Same with the seasons. There's going to be these positive attributes to every season and these attributes that maybe won't feel as comfortable. And it's the same for spring and summer, even though our society might deem those as the desired productive energies and it might feel as though we're always trying to be in our spring and summer. We can feel into the shadow of that, which leads to burnout. You've experienced it, Maria. I've experienced it. I'm sure many of the listeners here today have experienced that as well. So when we understand the cyclical nature and when we appreciate it for all of its facets, I love that word you shared before, for all of the facets that it's hold, and recognize that the desired and undesired, the light and the dark, that's what actually makes it whole, then we realize that in ourselves too. And I think that's so key.
Yeah, it's so key. Moving to the country, I definitely fell in love with winter and like being in a snow globe and, you know, getting dark outside by 5 p.m. And I got really into like paint by numbers and like slower. I even got into like slower hobbies, like slower things. Like I just moved slower in the winter for the first time in my whole life. And it was really interesting.
Yeah. And you have so much fire energy, that Aries energy so strong in you that must have felt very grounding, actually.
It felt very grounding. It took 3 years. I mean, the first year when we moved into the country, it felt very uncomfortable and very disorienting and very uncomfortable. Like I was antsy and kind of waiting for spring. And then the second season, I think I really enjoyed it. And then the third season, I was like waiting for it in fall. I was like, okay, I'm ready. When's the equinox? Like, let's do this. I'm ready for my winter hobbies. I'm ready for my winter foods. I'm ready, you know, for the quiet. You know, I think also because the sun rises later in the winter, I would get up before the sunrise and I would do my yoga as the sun was rising, like that connection with the sunrise that I could not access in the summer when I just am not that much of a morning person. Yeah. So let's talk about winter. So as per usual, with all four of these episodes, we're going to talk about what happens in the earth at the winter, you know, winter equinox, winter time, what's happening in the sky astrologically, and then how we can kind of interpret it for ourselves. So what is winter? How does the earth, Mother Earth, respond to winter?
Yes, beautiful. Okay, so start off with talking about the winter itself as a season. Winter is the season where our side of the earth is pointed as far away from the sun as possible. So if we're here on the northern hemisphere, that means the northern pole is as far away, is tilted as far away from the sun as possible, while the southern pole is closer, which means those in the southern hemisphere are experiencing summer. That's just the way it works because we live on a round planet. So that's what's happening just in terms of Earth astronomically. What that means for us here on Earth is really going to depend on where we live, how close we are to the equator, because obviously if we live close to the equator, we're going to have less of a big seasonal shift. But when we live further away from the equator, we will experience these large seasonal shifts. So as we move into from kind of fall, autumn, into the winter solstice, which the winter solstice is on December 21st this year. Mm-hmm. So toward the end of December, it's usually right around Christmas time, which is why we have so many of our the winter holidays around winter solstice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm saying equinox. Sorry. It's the solstice.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yeah. The equinoxes are spring and autumn. And it's right. When you think about the words like equal day, equal mm-hmm. night, equinox, and then solstice is actually when we're like further. It's about the soul, the sun. So it's about our position to mm-hmm. the sun itself. Yeah. So what's happening on the earth really depends on where you live. But typically what's happening is for us on the northern hemisphere, shorter days, longer nights, colder temperatures. And when we're talking about plants in particular, we're talking about a lot of dormancy. Now, of course, certain plants mm-hmm. are considered more of our evergreen plants. Those guys love winter. And often when we talk about like how we can ritualize winter, we can actually utilize those like evergreens, the hollies, the junipers, the firs, the pines. You know, we can actually bring that into our mm-hmm. home, which is what so many of us do to decorate for those winter months. But when we think about a lot of the other plants, they drop their leaves, completely drop their leaves. If some of us may have, you know, fruiting trees on our properties, we want to cut them back before winter, allow the energy of the plant to actually go deeper within it, not extending all its energy out into its branches, out into leaves that aren't even developing right now, but really bringing the energy of the plant more toward the stem, the roots, so that they can kind of rest and restore their energy and build up that potential for the growth coming in spring and summer. So that's typically what we have happening here on Earth is this slow down, colder, darker, cozier, actually. I often mm-hmm. think about the plants getting all cozy. They're like, if all their energy's all out here, it's like, put it all, tuck it all in nice and tight and just kind of like wrap yourself in a little sleeping bag and be like, see you in 3-4 months. Now, depending on where you are also, because where you are now, Maria, in Florida, and where I am in Southern California, we can have winter gardens. And so we can think about, like, what are some things we can grow in the winter? Here in Southern California, winter gardens is when I do a lot of kind of like the hardier leaf type things, like kale, chards, the cruciferous. I don't know why I have such a hard time with that word.
Cruciferous.
Cruciferous. Yeah. Okay, I got it. The cruciferous vegetables, your broccolis, your cauliflowers. These do great, at least here in Southern California, in wintertime. I also find that my rosemary really loves winter for some reason. My rosemary goes, yeah. And I love cooking with rosemary in wintertime as well. It's a great savory herb that pairs really well with root vegetables, which are fantastic in winter also. So for many of us, we're not really going to be gardening during the winter, unless we have a greenhouse or we can bring some things indoors. I know you talk a lot about indoor, like potting trees and having like smaller mini trees. Those we can bring indoors during the winter. And that's a really fun way to stay connected with nature during the winter months. But if you live someplace that's a little bit more temperate, you can garden in the winter months, but you're going to go for more of those winter produce choices. They do better with the colder temperatures, the shorter sunlight hours, and that's also how we continue to eat seasonally as well.
As we are celebrating the longest day of the year, I've got to ask you, plant friend, are your houseplants getting enough light? If they aren't, I highly suggest grabbing a Soltec grow light to ensure your plants are properly lit and happy year-round. We know I've been using them for my happy plants for the last years upon years. Whether you're dealing with limited sunlight or you're just looking to create a cozy atmosphere for your space, Soltec has the perfect grow light solution to help your plants thrive all year long, no matter what your setup looks like. They are designed to deliver the perfect spectrum of light, keeping your plants happy and healthy, and also looking completely like a normal light in your house. Your friends will never know their grow lights unless you want them to know. They have the aspect pendant hanging light. They have the Vita grow bulb. They have the Highland track light system that you might have seen that I recently installed in my office. It's illuminating my green wall, and you can position multiple lights for ultimate flexibility if you have hard to light areas of your house that you want to use it for. And they even have the Grove bar light, which has touch dimming, which is ideal for shelves, walls, and cabinets. Learn more about all of the amazing grow light solutions that they have and visit soltec.com and use the code BLOOM15 for 15% off of your order. That's BLOOM15 for 15% off your order at soltec.com. It is a really stressful time in life, plant friends. And I gotta tell you, I'm constantly surprised and delighted to report that one of the best things I've done for my mental health in the last couple of years is hang Wind River wind chimes around my house. The chimes are so soothing. They sing in the wind, and all day, whenever I hear them, they remind me to drop in for a mindful moment. And Wind River cares about your mental health, so they are using their paid ad break on Growing Joy with Plants today to gift you a moment of calm, a sound bath of sorts, with the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. So take a deep breath, exhale, and enjoy a moment of relaxation. Gift yourself and your loved ones with moments like this, plant friends, with moments of peace, moments of joy with the Wind River wind chime. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So you get a free way to personalize the wind chime with a name, an anniversary date, or a special message. It's so perfect for gifting season. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of the different melodious options. The one you're listening to is the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime, and use the code Growing Joy at checkout at windriverchimes.com for that free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's windriverchimes.com with code Growing Joy at checkout. So beautiful. I mean, I think too that concept of trees going dormant, like a lot of people say, oh yeah, the tree dies. No, it's like the opposite. It's preparing for more growth. And also the importance of a dormancy so that the next time, you know, that rest, that cozy period where it drops its leaves, it gets cozy, then it's going to come back even more. There's like even more growth, even more foliage that's going to come the next time. So many plants too. It's like the peony, you plant it the first 2 years, it doesn't flower, you know, where you're going to get a couple of flowers, but it requires several rounds of dormancy to kind of die back, to kind of be quiet before it comes forward again with all of the beautiful blooms that it wants to gift us. Yeah. So this period of dormancy is, you know, sometimes people think of it as like death, or people think of it as nothing, like it just does nothing, but it's actually so important for the preparation of the next growing season.
That is so vital. And it reminds me actually of when we plant fruiting trees, because we're often told, don't let it fruit the first few years, like actually don't like cut off the fruit, because ultimately that it's almost like the plant is kind of wasting some of its energy at that point, when the best use for its energy is in its own development before it starts producing externally, which I think is actually a really potent message for all of us, where we can get so enamored, obsessed with that kind of external proof of our development that we can sometimes bypass the true inner growth that is required to hold the capacity to hold that new growth that we are bringing on. Like if we're focused so much on what we're putting out externally and we're not focusing on that ability to hold that internally, then as soon as that gets harvested, we're like burnt out. We don't have that inner reserve.
Yeah, the concept of root to rise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you're saying that, it makes me think of like all these TikTok influencers that blew up in 2020 and weren't ready for it. And almost all of the influencers I follow on TikTok at some point have had to like take time off the app, had mental health struggles because they weren't like, none of us were prepared, right, for the way TikTok took off. And if you aren't able to build really strong roots or really strong core as you step into that level of visibility and all of a sudden you're thrust into the spotlight, there's going to be a weakness there. And I'm not like calling anyone out in particular, but it's that concept of like, you know, when you, if you have an apple tree that set too many apples, it could tip over, you know, or something like, you know what I mean? Like it really as below, so above, like it is a very true. It's a very true statement. There's a reason why it's so old and it's been around so long.
Yeah. And to me, that really just connects in with the concept of sustainability to begin with, which is the sense of growing at a rate that the production of that growth can keep up with the actual like harvest of that growth, right? Like, so right now we live in a society that's so focused on the harvesting of productivity, the harvesting of productivity, the harvesting of productivity. It doesn't really care whether we can continue to feed that rate. And that's an imbalance. That's an imbalance that we're experiencing that as a collective. And it's an imbalance in our society that's leading to a lot of problems, a lot of problems that we actually need to look at and remedy. I mean, that's what my book, Self-Care for Eco-Anxiety, is kind of about. But recognize, I think the more that we live seasonally, the way that we recognize the natural cycles of production, harvesting, restoration, dormancy, potential, production, like it's a cycle, right? The more that we live in communication, in connection with nature, the more we'll be able to bring that cycle back to the collective, back to our systems, which so desperately need that right now.
Totally. Beautiful.
So for everyone who's listening, do know that you taking the time to honor the seasons, to live by the seasons, to do something within your own life to recognize this is a natural cyclical change and I can feel it inside of me, do know that that is having an impact on the larger collective as well.
Absolutely. And what about the sky? You know, fall, we entered eclipse season, got a little crazy. What's going on, you know, astrologically? What's going on? How are the stars affecting us and the earth as well?
Yeah. So when we start with the winter solstice, that's also the start of Capricorn season because the cardinal signs, which are Aries for you, Libra, which is my daughter, Cancer, which is me, and Capricorn, they actually start the seasons. That's why they're known as cardinal. Mm-hmm. They're like initiatory. So Capricorn is the cardinal earth sign. And Capricorn is kind of known as like if Cancer's known as like the mommy of the zodiac, Capricorn's kind of like the daddy of the zodiac, for lack of a better term. Okay. I mean, and Capricorn is really well known for being very determined, disciplined, really innerly motivated, get stuff done kind of energy. But what's interesting about Capricorn is Capricorn feels things really strongly, but they often utilize their work and their ability to get things done as a way to kind of like bypass those emotions. And so I actually love the fact that we have Capricorn paired with winter season because winter as a season is the elements of water. Winter really pairs with the elements of water, and the elements of water is emotions. It's emotional. It's flowy. It's also our intuition. And so I actually see Capricorn season paired with water as a really beautiful kind of like balancing and a remembrance for us, especially in the society we live in, where during winter solstice, some of us are living in the most busy times, holiday season, parties, school going out, all the things, holidays, present wrapping, travel, blah, like all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can feel like we're bypassing what's going on inside. We're bypassing that need to rest, to just live to the conditions society's making of us, right? So I really see this Capricorn energy paired with water as a beautiful reminder, like, slow down and let yourself feel. Slow down and let yourself feel. I think Capricorn can use that sometimes. So that's part of what's happening in the sky. Additionally, let me just check my calendar really quick to look at the date. Because I know it's, I think, a few days before the winter solstice. So we have a full moon in Gemini. It's a few days before. It's on the 15th. So almost a week before, not quite a week, but 6 days before, we have this full moon in Gemini that might be influencing this winter solstice as well. And Gemini, so Gemini is an air sign. And Gemini is kind of known as being like it's the twins, if you've ever seen like the way it's represented. It's represented by the twins. And I often think about the twins as being like our inner critic and also our inner cheerleader. So some people might call it like the devil and the angel on your shoulder. I really see it as that voice of like inner criticism and also that voice of inner compliment. Gemini represents both of those things. So just know as we head into the winter season, we might feel in our own bodies as if our minds are a little activated, and we might feel that duality of those two inner voices within us. But we can also utilize the beautiful grounded, let's do something with this energy of Capricorn, along with the flowy, emotive, intuitive energies of winter, to help us come back to our bodies, to help us come back to our authentic emotions, and to just feel a little bit more whole and complete at a time when we might feel a little heady otherwise. So just something to keep in mind.
I'm a Gemini moon. So will I be more impacted by the Gemini full moon because my moon sign is Gemini, or no?
I think it depends on how exactly it's hitting your chart and yada, yada,
yeah,
yada.
But all those things.
I would say generally, yes. You can find that you're going to usually be more hit by the energies of the moon when it's in your sign, sun sign and moon sign, and sometimes your rising sign too. Definitely your moon sign. You'll definitely feel that. And also sometimes if it's like the opposite sign to you, so you're Gemini, it's Sagittarius. So, and that's that, I mean, fire is very comfortable for you. Sagittarius is a fire sign. And that's like a really comfortable place for you to be. But you might notice you might notice some of the Sag moons hit you a little harder as well.
Interesting.
Okay, because of that relationship between Gemini and Sagittarius.
Oh, that's so cool.
So that's just what I'm picking up on in terms of like what's happening astrologically. I'm sure there'll be more transits as we get closer, but those were the big ones, was just recognizing Capricorn season as the start of the winter for us, or just winter solstice is the start of Capricorn season. And then just kind of feeling into the energies of that Gemini full moon. That's just a few days before we have winter solstice. Yeah. So that's kind of going on in the heavens.
Something with Gemini too, like, because I think Gemini gets a bad rap a lot of time. People are like, oh, Gemini, like so dramatic, so all over the place, blah, blah, blah. But also like, I think it makes so much sense with the holidays too, because the holidays are really heavy for a lot of people.
Yeah, they can be.
And the holidays tend to be a time where you can experience extremes, like extreme highs, extreme lows. You can be on this emotional roller coaster. You can be burned out. You can be, you know, all these things. And you have this like gratitude of the holidays, but also the overwhelm of the holidays. There's a million parties to go to. There's all this kind of stuff.
There can be envy that comes in there, like envy.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And knowing the Gemini part of that, the duality, right? Like allowing for all of it, allowing for the highs and the lows, and knowing that it's also just par for the course of the holiday season in general. But then also, I think, like, I'm always just like January 2nd. I feel like there's just this enormous exhale for me of like, okay, now we can relax and go inward again and really start to enjoy winter. don't know about you, plant friends, but I've got a lot of gardeners to shop for this holiday season. And as a gardener, I also have a lot on my wish list. And luckily, Gardener Supply Company is my one-stop shop for the tools and supplies that will get my favorite growers and myself off to a good start next year. Plus, they have indoor and outdoor lights, decor, and more to fill my home with seasonal cheer. If you haven't heard of them already, Gardener Supply Company is a gardening company run by gardeners. For over 40 years, they've been selling garden essentials and sharing helpful advice to make growing easier, more comfortable, and more fun for everyone. They've also been earth-friendly from the beginning. Gardener Supply Company was one of the earlier providers of organic gardening supplies and humane pest control solutions and has always strived for a positive environmental impact through the products they sell, the advice they give, and the causes they champion. But don't just take it from me. Discover your next favorite garden essentials, exclusive innovations, and holiday gift options at gardeners.com/growingjoy and use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout for free shipping. Let's grow together. gardeners.com/growingjoy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There. I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. So when we think about winter and ourselves, what are certain ways that we can honor the winter solstice in particular, but also just the winter season in general for ourselves?
Ah, such a beautiful question. And I'm taken first to what you just described with that inner duality that you mentioned with Gemini, with that sense of like, wow, holidays can feel heavy and they can feel busy and they can feel like so many different things. So I think first and foremost is just to allow ourselves to feel, which is very much what the water essence of winter asks us to do. So instead of repressing the emotions that we feel around winter by going to another party or even Netflix binging or whatever it might be, shopping, all that it might be, maybe give yourself a little part in the calendar. Give yourself an hour one day where you're like, this is 1 hour where I'm going to be non-disturbed. I'm going to put my phone away. Maybe I'll put on some sad music or some music that'll actually let me feel. And if I want to dance, I can dance. Or if I can just sit, maybe I'll have my journal there. I'll let myself cry if I want to cry. I'm just going to welcome and invite in me. Really, like just saying to myself, every part of you is welcome here. I don't think we do that for ourselves enough. I know I don't. I definitely know I don't. So I think a beautiful way to work with winter is to just start off inviting yourself back home, inviting all of you back to the table, all of you back to your own experience. And I think what's nice about winter is that we can slow down a little bit. I mean, we can choose to. I think there are certain times where we will have to say no to things we actually want to say no to in order to make that happen, because it can get so busy. I think in particular in our society here on the Northern Hemisphere, in more, you know, Western cultures, where there is a lot of just a lot of energy around the winter holidays and social things that go around them. I think for us to really feel into, is this something I want to do? Like, really, is this something I want to do? And then honoring that. You know, I think sometimes there are obligations, family obligations that we just have to make. But I think there are other times we say yes when we really want to say no. And I honestly think that taking the time to feel into whether this social excursion, whether this social invitation is actually in alignment for where you're at right now is an amazing way to honor the season of winter and honor what is truly being asked from within you as well. Some other ways to work with winter. I love what you shared about getting up a little bit earlier and like watching the sunrise. I think that is a beautiful way to work with the elements of winter. And I think especially with winter, because the sun sets so early, to have a day where you can really, and this is a beautiful practice for winter solstice itself, actually, is to have a day where you're welcoming the sun in the morning and also lovingly tucking the sun in at night as well. So you get to experience both the sunrise and sunset is a really beautiful way to honor winter solstice in particular, because one thing that's really important to note about winter solstice is that while, yes, it's honoring the darkness, the dormancy, that void, the womb that is winter and that is the actual source of all creation when we think about it. But winter solstice also represents the moment in time where the sun begins to grow again. So if we have from summer solstice all the way to winter solstice, the days are actually slowly shortening, right? And then we hit autumn equinox, which is an equal day and night. And then from autumn equinox to winter solstice, again, night is growing, day is shortening. Night is growing, day is shortening. As soon as we hit the solstice, that we have the longest night, the shortest day, but it also marks the time where that then shifts. And starting the very next day, the day starts to grow and the night begins to shrink. So that's why we have so many holidays from so many different cultures in the winter that honor light. When you think about, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, Diwali, these are all holidays about light. I mean, Hanukkah is all about lighting candles. I think Diwali is as well. I'm not versed enough in Hindu practice to speak to it, but I believe it has a lot to do with light as well. And Christmas, which we all know was kind of taken from winter solstice itself, is also something that we think about all the holiday lights. People decorate their whole houses. You know, lights are a big deal in wintertime. And that's because we're honoring the fact that even as we're in the darkest period of time, we recognize that the sun is returning. The sun is growing. The days are getting longer. The night is getting shorter. So even in the midst of living through winter, of honoring that season, the coldness, the wetness, the dormancy, inside there's always that hope, that belief, that potential in the rebirth, the life that's still to come.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I love that. Particularly when people get the winter blues, to be like, no, the light is coming. Like, it is getting lighter and lighter. I also think in winter, like allowing winter to be winter, allowing dormancy to be dormancy. Because I think sometimes people feel and know, I got to slow down. It's time to slow down. And maybe they even take steps towards slowing down, like having less, you know, social engagements or traveling less in the winter. Like, there's so many things that you just don't do as much of. Ridding yourself of the guilt or shame of it, I think is hard, because some people really struggle with like just sitting still or just tending to yourself, just allowing yourself to say no. But like saying no and then feeling good about it, sleeping and feeling really good about sleeping and, you know, taking care of yourself and slowing down instead of feeling guilty about it. Because then I also sometimes feel like the trees don't feel guilty about shedding their leaves and going dormant. Why should we?
No, they love it. It's sleep time.
Yeah.
And you know what? As you're talking to me about this, it really brings up the nervous system to me with what you're sharing. Because ultimately, what you're talking about is us being stuck in our sympathetic nervous system, which is the part of our nervous system, which is always taking action.
Which is often triggered during the holidays.
Totally.
In December, you know?
And when we're in a stressed space, then that's going to play out as fight or flight in the sympathetic nervous system. And what you described with people having a hard time resting, a hard time slowing down, that is a body that's having a hard time calibrating between the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems. And so the sympathetic is the part of our nervous system that's taking action, that's going to do things. And then the parasympathetic part of our nervous system is the rest and digest. It's the part that helps us calm. It helps us restore. It helps us heal. It helps us digest. Both parts are absolutely necessary. And as humans, our role is to be able to vacillate between the sympathetic and parasympathetic as needed so that we can do what we need to do, take action, and also rest and restore and heal and be, right? Now, unfortunately, this is a big theme that we're talking about in winter season in particular. We live in a society that has completely glorified that action part, that sympathetic part, while kind of like poo-pooing the fight and flight that's a result of it, you know? And really, in some ways, demonizing the extremely valuable, necessary parasympathetic of rest and digest. It's not for nothing that there are so many people who have autoimmune and digestive issues in our country these days. Those are very much associated with the solar plexus, which is very much associated with the immune system and the nervous system in general. So when we are recognizing that it's hard for us to slow down, we're also recognizing an imbalance in our nervous system. And we can look at winter within our own nervous system as an invitation into the parasympathetic, an invitation into the rest and digest. So that's another way that we can kind of rebrand winter.
Yeah. And for someone who struggles with that, how would you recommend them dropping more into the rest and digest?
Well, for your listeners in particular, I just close my eyes and all I'm seeing is houseplants. Houseplants everywhere, 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 everywhere. So I think for specifically the listeners to this program, turning to our plants, especially the plants we have brought indoors, they will teach you to slow the F down. really will.
Totally.
If you just take the time to be with them, to take care of them, and to really listen to the guidance. And so if you're finding that it's hard for you to slow down, I actually recommend a practice that both me and Maria do a lot, which is care for your plants as an act of self-care. Go ahead and go care for your plants, but do it slowly, do it intentionally, do it mindfully, and do it with that invitation as you're like watering your plants or cleaning their leaves to listen to what they have to share with you. Because just that practice is going to naturally bring your body from the sympathetic into the parasympathetic. That's one of the most amazing things about plants is that kind of innate reaction our bodies have to interacting with them. Even just looking at green leaves has that impact on the nervous system.
Totally.
But then if you bring your intention in. So I would say if you're struggling to kind of slow down, utilize your plants as kind of like a positive timeout.
Yeah.
We're going to rebrand timeout as well.
Rebrand like, timeout. I love it.
It's a positive timeout.
And screen-free, by the way.
Exactly.
Screen-free, slowing down. Yeah. Actually spending time with them.
Take your photos after you care. Yeah. After you care for the plants. Yeah. That, I feel like, can be a really beautiful ritual that can also help your nervous system and help you invite in the slower pace, the more present, restorative energies that truly want to pair with you during winter season.
So beautiful. Well, we've done a little meditation visualization at the end of every episode. Can we close this one out with a visualization as well to honor the winter solstice?
Yes, I would love to. And I'll try and keep, I know I sometimes when we get into these things, you know how it is, like time completely goes out the window. So I will try and keep it short. I have a nice thing in mind and we'll see where it goes once we get in. So
sounds good.
Let's just take a moment and start by just slowing down. Just slowing down, because that is really the message of winter, the message of winter solstice. So starting by slowing the breath. Slow, deep inhale, holding at the top. And a slow open mouth, exhale, letting everything go and just letting the body naturally slow down with the breath. Again, breathing in slow and deep, breathing into the lower abdomen. Holding for a moment and then letting go with the exhale. And from this place of feeling connected to our breath, connected to our bodies, we're going to imagine roots extending from our feet and from our sit bone and traveling deep down into earth below us. And these roots travel with absolute grace and ease. There's no resistance. They magically burrow their way through the foundation of the building you're in, through those top layers of soil, finding a place deep within Mother Earth where they want to anchor, where they want to be held, embraced, welcomed. Good. And then from there, we're going to breathe energy into our bodies through these roots from Mother Earth. So as we inhale, allowing these roots to just suck up all this earth energy all the way up into our body as we inhale. And then as we exhale, feeling this earth energy like a beautiful warm blanket, just wrapping all around us, warming every cell, every organ, every bit of us. Yes, very good. Again, breathing in, filling the whole body with the love, adoration of Mother Earth. Pulling it all the way up into your head as you inhale. And then as you exhale, allowing that earth energy to settle in your body, to be received, to be held, to energize you. Excellent. Beautiful. Now bringing the attention to the top of the head, taking a nice deep breath in, but this time really focusing on what it feels like in the head as we breathe in. So feeling energy at the top of the head as we inhale. And again, receiving that energy through every cell, through every organ in the body as we exhale. Excellent. One more breath in again from the top of the head. This time really opening to receive energy from the sun and from the cosmos at large, from the crown as we inhale. And you might feel warm. You might feel tingly as you take in all this energy. Allow it to be there. This is what it is to receive energy. And exhaling, letting all that warmth, all that energy dance within you. Excellent. And we're going to do one breath, just breathing in from earth below and cosmos above, breathing in through the root and the crown simultaneously as we inhale. Really feeling the body fill with fresh prana, fresh energy. And as we exhale, really allowing that energy to embrace us in a hug. Feeling it wrap around us, feeling ourselves held, supported, adored, even just through our breath. Excellent. And now from this place of connection, this place of presence, we're going to ask our inner eye to bring forward a beautiful winter forest. It's just after a fresh snow. Allow yourself to really be in this area. Hear the muffled sounds of the snow blanketing the earth and the forest. See the whiteness, see the brightness of the sun hitting the snow. Perhaps you can hear the sound of wind moving through bare branches, or maybe even the call of some birds. Still around. Just let yourself really be present in this wintry scene. Perhaps you're even feeling a cooler breeze just dancing off your skin. Not cold, but invigorating. helping you feel into the crispness, the bite, the presence of the season. And just a breath to take it in, the silence, the brightness, the stillness of winter. And then we're going to follow our roots down again. So gently wiggling your toes, really feeling your feet beneath you, and traveling down those roots again, down deep into Mother Earth, perhaps feeling the warmth as we move into the soil, noticing the darkness come forward, and letting ourselves travel down deep, 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 until we find ourselves in a subterranean cave, a big opening. And as we look around, we see a gorgeous web of roots all around us, as if we have hit this amazing cave of interconnected roots of the forest above. And just take it all in. Perhaps you can even see the lace-like structure of the mycelium network as it weaves its way through the root structure all around you. Perhaps you can see little glowing crystals around, beads of light, water traveling between the mycelial network and the roots themselves, lights of communication as the trees talk to each other, share resources with each other, warm and enliven each other. And as you take this all in, a beautiful net of roots extends out towards you, greeting you, welcoming you, wrapping around you, lifting you up like a little baby, and bringing you deeper into this web, this net of roots itself. And then these roots create a beautiful hammock for you to lay in. And you allow yourself to lie back in this hammock, allowing the roots to extend around you, even allowing them to pour some of their energy into you. Almost as if the roots kind of tap in to you. Perhaps it's the back of your heart they're tapping into. Perhaps it's your hips or your solar plexus. Wherever you feel these roots attach and embrace you, it's where you need it. And allow yourself to just breathe in the support, the community, the warmth, the rest that these roots are providing. Perhaps you can feel yourself gently being rocked and swayed, held, adored, cherished by Mother Earth within this root structure. Perhaps you can even feel little zaps and tingles of potential energy that the trees are already sharing with each other, moving around and through you. So even as you feel held and supported, there's a little bit of excitement that's coming in, a little bit of anticipation, a little bit of, ooh, something good is still coming kind of energy. And just letting that be there, seated within you, even as you let yourself just rest, just witness, just be held, just be present, just be supported. We're going to breathe that in for about two breaths. The support and also the seed of something new. Noticing if there's any colors as we receive. Noticing any sensations, or noticing if it just feels like there's a certain area of your body that's lit up by this interaction. perhaps that's the area where the seed is currently finding a place to germinate, to root in. And allowing yourself to just kind of give this beautiful hammock of roots that you're in a gentle hug as you give thanks to its support, to its beauty, to its interconnectivity. And allowing the roots now to gently bring you back to the floor of the cave, moving you out of the web of the interconnected roots, placing you back on the floor of the cave as you turn around and give thanks, allowing this winter community to share with you one last message of your own sense of authenticity, your own sense of alignment, who you truly are, what is seated within you. Feeling that connection between this root structure and your presence right here and now. Letting these roots light that up within you. And then allowing these roots to very gently come up below your feet and lift you upwards. Up, 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 back up to the forest in winter, back up to the snow, back up to the actual top of the earth, no longer within earth, but upon her now. And just taking a moment to look around, to embrace the beauty, to embrace this element, the season of winter, gently wiggling your fingers and toes. And when you feel ready, floating open your eyes.
I'm yawning as I open my eyes. I was just so relaxed.
That's good. We got you in the parasympathetic. What was so interesting with that is that when we were down there in the roots, like I knew that there was going to be something seated coming in, but when we were in the roots and really being held, I was surprised by how much I felt this like zappy energy of communication between the trees happening in that moment. So to me, that kind of brought up a little bit of what is happening within the trees during winter. Like, yeah, it's dormant. That's how we see it on the outside. But like underneath the ground, like I think they're having a party.
Yeah, totally. Oh, so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Well, with that, our plant friends, I wish that, you know, everyone allows to celebrate the duality of the stillness above and the action below and allowing it all to be present. And where can everyone find you, Raquel, and all of the amazing things that you have going on? Where can everyone learn from you? I know you sold out your intuitive magic, the last round of intuitive magic.
Yeah.
What's new in the world of Raquel these days?
So we have another round of intuitive magic that will be happening early in 2025. So you can go over to our infinitenature.co to get more information about that. That's also where you can find all of my things. But if you want to just stay up on what's happening with the seasons and with the moon as well, please follow me on socials. You can follow me on Instagram at Our Infinite Nature Raquel and also at Intuitive Moon Co., which is more for the moon related things, but both of those places. And also, if you enjoy YouTube videos, I do a longer moon video on YouTube, which you can find me also at Our Infinite Nature Raquel there as well.
So good. All right. Thanks, my friend. Until our next conversation.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Maria. Happy winter solstice. Happy winter. And I'm excited to talk to you about your first winter in Florida too.
Yes. Oh my God. We'll see the extra layer of richness that brings forward for sure. For sure.
Adore you, friend.
You too. Thank you so much, Raquel. Like I said, go check her out on Instagram at Our Infinite Nature Raquel, spelled R-A-C-H-A-E-L, or ourinfinitenature.com. She is such a dear friend. I love her so much. This has been such a beautiful exploration of the seasons for me personally. I hope it's been beautiful for you too. let me know like what other more kind of spiritual, borderline witchy things you'd like to explore with Raquel in coming episodes. We definitely want to do an episode on tree communication, but she is an incredible intuitive and healer and green witch, and we are committed to bringing more magic to this community together in 2025. So thank you. And of course, all of her links for her courses and all of her amazing offerings will be in the show notes as always. I wish you a happy winter solstice, plant friends. I am ready for a bit of rest, for a bit of reflection. I am so ready to slow down after what feels like a 100-mile-an-hour season that I've had in the last couple of months as I have been pushing to move to Florida and get set up and just live. Ready to hibernate a bit with this winter solstice. So very thankful for this episode. Thankful for you. And I hope that this episode and all of the other episodes on this podcast, on the Growing Joy YouTube channel, on Growing Joy with Maria social media, all of it is in service to help you continue keep growing joy every day. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Take plant friends, there is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.